Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour, the first live broadcast of 2013, is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the one, the only, other one, John Ramos.
Good morning. Hello, hello.
Hello. Give a shout out to all of our listeners out there. If you missed the first hour, you want to catch it. You want to be encouraged. Talking about what unity and how important unity is sometimes, that even though we can do something, it doesn't mean we're supposed to do it. We need to be able to really pay careful attention how we exercise the things of God, because it could bring darkness in instead of light, even though it was light that was being used in the wrong way. Also, catch out the segment that talks about computer-driven cars. Now the law has passed. You can find this in the first hour. That California's passed a law that computer self-driven cars are now legal. You just have to be sitting. You have to be dumb enough to be sitting in the passenger seat when it's going. What are we coming to? And also find out the details and what is happening now they passed this new tax laws. Will your paycheck be affected? How much money you're going to have to pay in Texas, and find out the details of why your paycheck taxes are going up and you're going to get less in your paycheck in the first hour. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, here we are, moving in the extra hour, first live broadcast. And I got smiles. This is great. I got a smile, man. I'm just like,
oh,
touched.
My goodness.
I am touched.
Get smiles.
Well, you know, you got to pay attention. You got to pay attention. I'm looking forward to the seminar being taught on personalities.
2012.
You said last year.
And the problem is, we have a sanguine that's actually going to decide whether it's going to be done or not.
Come on, 2013. This is the year.
You got to come together with other personalities to make sure this thing gets done. I mean, you got to schedule it. We have all these personalities, and we need to figure them out. There are four basic personalities. Matter of fact, we talked about them before
Uniquely you.
So they're going to make that available to you on today. But just understand, God's created all of us, but he didn't create all of us the same. Mm-hmm. Everybody's not necessarily crazy. They're just not like you. And there are people that are detailed people who are very important. Those are kind of our artists. They are our musicians and our irritants. Because they see that we're not detailed, so they're going to point things out. That is called what we would refer to in many different ways, but one is a melancholy. They're called the perfect melancholy. And they wreak perfection. And they're looking and seeking, trying to make things perfect. Often defeated because they realize nobody's perfect and neither are they. And they have to work with their weaknesses and their strength. But their strength is the fact that they're the ones that make sure the dots are connected and things work. And those are probably your accountants and your artists and your musicians and that type of situation. Writers of the Bible, most of the writers in the Bible pretty much look like in the New Testament, that they were more of a melancholy type personality. I mean, you didn't want a sanguine writing. Now, what did he say? He said something like, you know, be baptized, maybe. I don't know. You know, you don't want to see anyone doing that. No. And then you have the choleric person. The choleric person is the person that is in charge. They're more of the leader or leader type person. And they're, you know, one of their strengths are is they can get a hold of whatever it is and begin to bring some leadership in that area. But their weakness is, they want to actually lead everything. And so you got to be able to, they're real bossy and type stuff. And so you could be part choleric, which is that, and part melancholy. So you could be a detailed, bossy person. Or you could be a real great leader that has a lot of great structure in your plans.
Yeah,
and
it could that's be a great way. Combination.
A great, it's a rarity, but it's a great combination in the context of that. The, and then, of course, you have the lovely sanguines who just I'm getting some looks now. The smile is gone.
I don't remember that.
The sanguines are the happy people. They're always just kind of bubbly, and you know, if everything's going good, and
joy to the world.
They're the person you say when it's real quiet in a gathering or quiet at your office. You say, "We definitely need somebody around here like Bobby Joe." You know, somebody that's too much of a sanguine. Can be really, really rough. Even Proverbs says a man who gets up in the morning and sings is hating on his neighbor. Mm-hmm. You know, like, good morning, sunshine. He's like, where did you come from? You know, that's too happy for the morning. Give me a moment. Give me a moment.
Right.
And but they're the person that that they're just excited. They're looking for the party, the excitement part of it. But the other weakness is that if it's no longer fun, sometimes they start looking for a door. And so they have to worry about that aspect of it as well. But you can have a little bit of sanguine, a little bit of cleric. You can have a little bit of fun and be a good leader, or you can be a real detail. No, you can't be a melancholy. In this post, in this highlight, if you're listening to it, you want to listen to the rest of it below. I mean, in this, you can, there's a whole other segment. Mm-hmm. But then you have the phlegmatic. And the phlegmatic is a person, it's called the peaceful phlegmatic. They're the ones that just want peace at any cost. And we have a lot of phlegmatic mindsets in America right now that it's just people are signing off on legislation. They're letting leaders lead, just saying, listen, we just want peace. And it's not going to be peace. It's going to be, we're going to have to stand up and get some good leadership in America. But they're peaceful. They always want to bring peace. They're the person that's going to say, okay, that works, you know, and they kind of go with the flow and what's going on. So it's important if you're phlegmatic to know what flow you're going with. Because you don't want to go with the wrong flow. But all their weaknesses is they procrastinate. I'm getting to that. I'm going to get to that. And so you can find out more about this by listening to Uniquely You. Uniquely You, and you probably have it even right here in this particular highlight right there. John, man, the Holy Spirit is so awesome. The Holy Spirit, you know, God, when Jesus went to go be with the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit in a powerful, powerful way.
Yeah. He really did, and I was abiding and just spending some time with the Lord, and I, you know, was directed to Psalm 119:33, and it's about having a relationship with the Lord. Even you're really hearing just an awesome cry. A cry here is to seek God, is to seek his help. And then Psalm 119:33 says, "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end." Goes on to say, "Give me understanding and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain, and turn my eyes away from worthless things." It's so beautiful when you're looking at that. You're saying, you know, it's a cry. It says, "Teach me, God. Teach me your ways. Give me understanding. Direct my heart. I want to obey you. I want to give you everything. Turn my heart towards your statutes. Turn my eyes away from everything that's going to steal my relationship with you. But I want to grow in my relationship with you, God." And it's impossible to grow in your relationship with God without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our friend. He's our counselor. He is the great teacher. He's the one that reveals Jesus to us. He accompanies us as we abide and spend time with the Lord. I mean, Jesus said in John 14, he said, "If you love me, you'll obey what I command." And this is at John 14:15. "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth." The Spirit of Truth. So the Holy Spirit is with us. And as we're trying to have, you know, walk in our relationship with Lord, it's only the Holy Spirit that can teach us his ways. It's only the Holy Spirit who can give us understanding and help us and empower us to obey the Lord. It's only the Holy Spirit that gives us guidance and direction through God's word, through the voice of the Lord, right? And it's also the Holy Spirit that's going to help us to turn our heart towards God, towards others, and away from pursuing selfish ways and selfish means. And again, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to turn our eyes from worthless things. And our eyes, I mean, are being attacked with so many things. It could be sinful things, but it could be things that are just distractions, total distractions. And without a relationship with the Lord, without abiding, we're not going to be able to stay in hot pursuit of the Lord. And, you know, oftentimes the Godhead, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes he doesn't get emphasized enough. You don't hear sometimes much about him, but he is in a very important aspect in our walk with God. I mean, you can't He is the revealer. And I want to read this in 2 Corinthians. Where is it? I think it's 1 Corinthians, actually. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But oftentimes the first part of the scripture, we, you know, a lot of people are familiar with this. It says, however, it's been written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And it's like, oh, wow, that's amazing. That's cool. You know, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. Man, right. God's amazing. But then we'll read the next part of the scripture. It says, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. God wants to reveal himself each and every day. And that's one of the greatest pleasures. We always talk about abiding, my goodness, because it's the wonderful opportunity. It's the wonderful gift that we have every single day is to meet with the Father, is to meet with Jesus, to spend time with him in his presence. You know, the Bible says that we can go from glory to glory, and it's in God's presence that God heals us, that he restores us, that he directs us, that he gives us guidance, that he teaches us. It's where we fellowship with God. It's where he pours his love upon us. And it's in that time of relationship that we live out of. We live out of that overflow. And in verse 10, it goes on to say that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? That's so true. You can't know what other people are thinking. I mean, they can give you clues by their actions. They can give you clues by the things that they do that can help you to maybe understand what they may be thinking. But no man knows the thoughts of another man. You can't know them unless, of course, they tell you. But other than that, that's an internal thing that happens. He goes on to say that in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit that knows the thoughts of God.
Think about that, John. I gotta stop it. No one knows the thoughts of God.
Isn't that amazing?
Think about it.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of the Creator of the universe.
Knows them.
Knows them. I think I want to talk
them out.
I think I want to hang out with the one who knows what God's thinking.
Right.
Hello. Yeah. It says we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And then he goes on, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths and spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. And I mean, it's just so amazing that he reveals, he makes plain what God has freely given us. God reveals it to us, and we have the chance. We have the opportunity to commune with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you're saying in 2013, listen, I want to go after God with all my heart. I want to make the Lord the most important person in my life, the most important thing I do, of all the changes I want to make, I want to go after God with everything. I want to encourage you. Listen, get an abiding plan. Get an abiding plan. You can go to iabide.org. You make God the number one priority and seek him with everything you have and cry out to the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to teach you. This is a school of the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you understanding. He's going to reveal God's word to you. So it's not just a book, but it's a living book, right? He's going to direct you in all your ways. He's going to give you wisdom. We share a wisdom moment every day, but he's going to give you wisdom from the Lord. He's the one that's going to enable you and empower you to turn your heart fully to God, and he's going to turn your eyes. He's going to speak to you in that still, small voice and say, stay focused on me. Stay focused on me. So I want to encourage you this year. Listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He is the true revelator, the true teacher, the true comforter, the helper, and his mission is to reveal Jesus. And so I just wanted to share that about the Holy Spirit. He's just so precious, and he's just so awesome and so amazing and so humble. He doesn't speak of himself. His sole purpose is to reveal the Son to you. And I just say, man, welcome Holy Spirit, man. We need more of the Holy Spirit.
That's like his own preacher. We need more of the Holy Spirit. You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. I think about this, and it's on the VFN Torch. I'm just talking about some of the things the Holy Spirit says in his word, and you can mm-hmm. actually see the scripture of what I'm talking about. But the Holy Spirit is our counselor. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit reminds us of everything Jesus said. The Holy Spirit enables us to hear the voice of God. The Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit gives us power to deal with the demonic oppression. The Holy Spirit controls us if we allow him to lead us. The Holy Spirit knows what God is thinking, like you're talking about. The Holy Spirit can be grieved by our actions and words towards others. The Holy Spirit leads us in worship. The Holy Spirit enables us to discern what is right and what's wrong. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit, I'm talking, it just goes on and on and on, yeah. and on and on and on and on. That's why you see a great attack on the Holy Spirit when you have religion comes in and starts saying, you know, we don't need the power of God, and God doesn't heal anymore, and we don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. What they're trying to do is that's who God sent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be able to see this on the VFN Torch, and it'll be made available to you. But understand that if you've been looking for power, if you've been looking for leadership, you've been looking to be led here and there by knowing what's right. Listen, it's actually God's Spirit, like John is talking about. And I want to encourage you. That's God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, although he's three, he's one. So to honor and bless and speak well of the Holy Spirit is to honor and bless and speak well of God. As a matter of fact, the only unforgivable sin is to dishonor, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So be very mm-hmm. careful, you know, and you can speak against God, you can speak against Jesus, but if you speak against the Holy Spirit, if you blaspheme, you'll be very, very careful. And only God knows how that all fits in the paradigm of things. But the big thing is he's the one that helps us.
That's right.
He's God inside of us. That's why God's Spirit dwells inside of us by the Holy Spirit. And so that's a very, very, very good word. And it's very encouraging. When we come back, I'm going to be talking about a real understanding, or begin to understand how God's power is made perfect in our weakness.
You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian, we're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand, and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and
yes,
we're trying to tap into what he's saying, and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back. And those that are being led to the Lord, I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart.
John, one of my last jobs, you know, as a deputy sheriff was mm-hmm. a school resource officer. It was called ESIL, which stands for Expanded Educational Agricultural Laboratory. I was like,
okay.
It's a farm, you know, with kids. It's like the last chance particular school they had in their district right there. There's a lot of different things going on, you know, different. I thought, you know, all these kids need just somebody to be able to just kind of father them. And I had all these wrong ideas about how it was going to work. But, you know, one of the things that they did was they wanted to be able to have a golf tournament. It's called Best Ball Golf Tournament, where, you have to get several of the teachers together to go out on a golf course to be able to play ball. And the best ball, based on my understanding of it, is that you have a group of people, and each of you hit a ball in mm-hmm. your group, and you have several groups playing each other, and whoever hits the best ball, you play off that ball. And, of course, I know what a hook is, and I know what a slice is, which is not what you want. And I didn't play golf. I kind of hacked at golf. You know what I'm saying? I was hacking at it. And these guys were merciless. It was just totally terrible. You know, I kept on trying to hit the ball, you know, in a certain direction, but to go in a total different direction. And finally, I was on a putting green, and I thought, this is it. I am almost there. I am almost there. My ball lands, and I'm going to knock it in. And finally, one of these teachers looks at me and says, just pick your ball up. I'm like, you know, I can't believe that. Of course, I didn't have the best ball at that point, but this is what happened. This is what I got to tell you why. This is so important. So we get back, and this particular teacher was one of the guys who worked with the students in the agricultural area. And so he had sort of like a shed, if you would, of where his some of his equipment was and his file cabinets. And there's this file cabinet, four-door file cabinet, that has a metal rod that you slide down to lock the whole file cabinet up. So you have to raise it higher than the file cabinet, and you're lowering it down. So it's the same day now. The same day the boy makes in front of my golf. He's out there fixing to lock up his file cabinet, and he lifts that rod up to slide it down into the file cabinet, and lightning, I'm telling you, lightning comes down and strikes that rod and comes right through him and goes right into the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
He's okay. It did erase his credit card, all the little magnetic strips on his credit cards. But he comes in, he's just shocked, obviously. His hair is kind of sticking out a little bit. But he's okay. Nothing happened to him physically. But he looked at me, total hair sticking out, you know, frazzled. And I looked at him and I said, don't ever make in front of my golf again. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm going to be talking about, in this last part of the extra, hopefully we can get it all in, and the wisdom moment, but God's power is made perfect in our weakness. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. So many people are trying to get stronger so that God can use them, and the stronger you got, the least God can use you. Mm-hmm. Now you're understanding why God's using us. And when you think about it, God said to the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:9 talks about it. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, the power of God. But think about it. The power of God is made perfect in weakness. He says, my power is made perfect in weakness. That makes no logical sense. Mm-hmm. Think about it. It makes no logical sense. And so Paul says, well, because of this, I'm just going to boast more gladly in my weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how many people try to hide their weaknesses? How many people just like, oh, I don't know if God can use me? It's like, you know, hey, that's why we post our testimony. So he's like, you need to know, man, we are totally dependent on God for everything. Yeah, we are boldly marching into this war, and we're standing up for God, but God's the one giving us the victory. He's the one that's moving and doing, and we are totally 100% dependent on him. At any moment, if he chooses to snatch the rug out from under us, so be it. I mean, he can. It's totally up to him. We know each breath, each step we take, you know, we're totally dependent on him. And I want to encourage you, because I'm challenging you for 2013 and this year, is to embrace weakness in 2013. I mean, you're not going to get, it's like, okay, 2013, I'm going to get strong enough to do something. No, the thing is get in tune with your weakness. Get in tune with the awesomeness of God and understanding that his power is made perfect in your weakness, to bring those two revelations together. I want to encourage you to embrace weakness in 2013, because the reality is that we can do nothing outside the Lord. But embracing this, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Right.
So how can I do all things if I can't get over this weakness in my life?
Right.
Now, this is a great revelation, because, first of all, we need some help on the front lines. You know, we need some help. And somebody says, well, I'm too weak. And it's like, well, as long as you can understand that God can work through you, and you're in tune with your dependency on God, and therefore you're not going to step outside the ranks of his grace, I mean, get on the front lines.
That's right.
That's right.
Because you know you actually have to have God. You're not going to get all spunky and stuff when you realize he's the one holding your airline mm-hmm. and you're diving underwater, right?
That's right.
Let me tell you, bro, it ain't going to work, right?
That's right.
Somebody, you're hanging off of a balcony of the Empire State Building. Somebody's holding you by your foot. You don't yell at the person holding your foot.
Mm-mm.
Like, how you doing? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
How can I better meet your needs?
Exactly.
Right? Don't let go of my foot. And so I want to share just a personal experience about that to kind of give you some ideas, and hopefully I have time to do it, is in Hebrews 11:6, first of all, he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it's pleasing God when we begin to move in faith, which is Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. So facing your weaknesses, but yet boldly going after what God says, knowing that you can't do it outside of God, is very pleasing to God. Now, it's not pleasing to your flesh, because I'm going to tell you what happened to, you know, my flesh in regards to that, but it's okay. It doesn't matter. You know, God's, the flesh counts for nothing, Jesus said. But God began to stir my heart. God began to stir my heart sometime back, many years ago, about the fathers speaking into the lives of their children, and our father figures or mentors also speaking into the heart of the fatherless to be able to spend some time together for the sons of our particular city that we were mm-hmm. in, and to get a grid, for them to get a grid for the father and a son relationship, to get a grid for being a father, because there wasn't, mm-hmm. it's not a grid, and to get a grid for being a man. You know, what does mm-hmm. it mean? A grid is like thinking about latitude and longitude on a map. You can kind of know where you are if you just find out where other people are in the context, what God says.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this revelation that was just in me, and it, until I spoke it and began to move in it, it was nowhere. So I had nothing, no money at that particular time in regards to this word, no team, no idea how it was going to happen. And all I had to do was this, all I had was this unction of the Lord. And the agreement of his word in Malachi 4, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, he says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, or the children to the fathers, or I'll smite the earth with a curse. So I had the word of God just burning in my heart. And as I began to move, the team came together, things came together. But as I progressively continued in unswerving, dogmatic progression, you know, mm-hmm. believing God, and just even though I didn't have a grid how this thing was going to happen, you know, God provided each step of the way. It was totally amazing. I mean, there was no, we were talking about thousands of people providing food and gear and mm-hmm. wilderness experiences and all these different things. There was nothing. Right. All it was a rhema word from God. That was it.
Right.
And my first meeting that I had with people that was going to encourage me, I said, oh, here we go. We're ready to do it. What do you think? And somebody goes, well, I haven't really thought about it yet. And somebody else was, you know, it was like, oh my goodness. So I was like that keeper of this word. I mean, I had a torch, and I had to carry this thing and believe God for this thing to manifest and happen in the city. But yet I was so weak in myself. It was impossible for me to do this myself. There was no way that I could actually have done this. It was totally outside my abilities, resources, intellect, knowledge, and all that type of thing. So, but yet, I went forward. I began to just progress and believe God for it. It was amazing how, as I started moving forward, God would just provide this. He would provide that. He would provide key people to the point that I'm going to tell you, the people that begin to join in, but they begin to join in what I believe God for. The enemy was attacking me personally through the entire thing as I began to progress in this. So if you're going to move in faith in God, what God's given you, you have to understand that you're going to have an adversary. And the adversary is going to use people, and sometimes he will actually use just, you know, fiery darts just going into you alone, you know, accusations and all these different things. But it was amazing the warfare that you had to go through to be able to believe. You thought everybody's going to join together and go, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. Ooh, it was like, I'm going to kill him, Lord. I'm going to kill him, Lord. And so all your, you know, weaknesses and all your inabilities are constantly before you. But yet you're moving, you're just driven, and you don't know how this next thing is going to happen, but you believe God for it, and then God provides for it, and then you have others that are committing to things only to be used by the adversary to not deliver on things, and it was just wild to see what was going on. And ultimately, we ended up in the wilderness with thousands of fathers and sons and mentors and fatherless sons, and God showed up in a powerful way. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had in participation, I mean, there was military forces, Marines, the Navy, law enforcement, school systems, government, mentors, fatherless, fathers, sons, lawyers, every form of just amazing what took place. But it all began because, you know, I just believe what God was showing me and compelling me to do. And I stepped out, not knowing how it was going to happen, but just was driven by the word of Malachi 4, 5, and 6, which is preparing the way for the Lord. And for 10 years, you know, I did this. But in the beginning, it was easier as time progressed because things began to be established. But it gets established first with the word from God. But yet God's power that provided this was made perfect in my weakness. So here I am weak, and these things are impossible. The adversary continually throughout every bit of this would remind me continually that I couldn't do it. It was so amazing how he was just there. And so you imagine I have all these, you know, a thousand of folks coming to a particular place that has not yet been chosen to do a thing that has not yet manifested. So God can do what he's going to do, whatever that is. And they're going to be fed, you know, 5,000 meals in one weekend. From food coming from somewhere, and somebody's going to serve it, and all these things. And I would lay down at night in my bed, and you're exhausted because you're, and you close your eyes for about 5 seconds, and instantly the accuser comes right in and just hits you with everything, like, bam! And all this weight of this thing would hit you, and they're coming, and what are you going to do? And this is not going to happen. And mentors and food and stuff. And they're coming, and you're in that. And all of a sudden your eyes just slam open. Bam. I mean, they're like closed for about 5 seconds. And then all of a sudden he just hits you with accusations and lies, and it won't work. And this is not going to happen. And your flesh is just freaking out. Your flesh is just won't line up. It's amazing. It'd be cool if your body would line up, but it's amazing when you're pressing after God. And you're doing what God says, understand, you know, I'll talk a little bit more about it in a moment, that your flesh is just, it's not going to be, you know, all happy about it.
Right.
To the point that literally that here I'm believing God and God's moving powerfully and all these things are happening, but my body, I'd get up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and it's just in shock. And I just wouldn't listen to it. Right. I just wouldn't pay attention to it. I wouldn't believe the lies the enemy was saying. And I will never forget one particular night. It manifested just like God said it would, and led us where there's 1,000 fathers and sons and mentors and fatherless sons and police officers patrolling the area, and they're all in their tents at nighttime, and we're camping out in this region, and imagine all these people are now sleeping in their tents, and the next day has to start, and something's going to happen, and it has to be the thing that you believe God for. And I'm laying in my tent that night, and the enemy just comes in there and goes, "What are you doing? This is not a good time for this conversation. Yeah, what are you doing?" And it just began to accuse, and he's thinking, "You got all these men out here. You got all these fathers out here. You got all these sons out here. The whole city's looking at this prophecy. Everything's happening. Who are you to be doing this?" And who? I mean, just bombard me all through the night. And then you just get up. And you continue moving the next day in the word, and God moves powerfully where, you know, relationships with fathers and sons are encouraged and healed and renewed and established, and the fatherless get the grid for what a father's like and that type of thing, and get a grid for being a man. And they would form this tunnel of affirmation at some point, and all the fathers would, and all these sons would come through this tunnel, and they begin to love on these sons and bless them and pray for them, and God would just swirl. His presence would just swirl, and I'm cutting this short, but understand that God's glory was so strong that a Marine's face glowed with the glory of God. That's how powerful it was. Undeniable tunnel of tears, they nicknamed it, because God's presence would fall and people would just weep and weep and weep and weep, and it was just powerful. Totally powerful, and thousands were touched through the period of time. But it all began because God laid it on my heart, and I had to believe God. And my flesh was not going to be happy. Listen, I'll tell you what separates men and boys. Let me tell you what separates girls and women's. Let me tell you what separates fathers and mothers in the faith and children in the faith. Due dates.
That's right.
You know, get a due date. Don't have one more cheerleader, booster club meeting. Don't have one more, you know, get your feet on the ground and begin to believe God and put a due date, draw a line in the sand and says, we're going to do this for God. And you'll find everything in hell. I mean, the devil hates due dates.
Right.
He hates due dates. And it was just totally amazing the things that would happen. The weather got, we got blamed by the weather. You know, they were calling, you're the, I was like, I can't control the weather. And so the due date, it just begins to get, it got closer and closer and closer, you know, the first one and the second one, third one. And it's amazing. Everything, I mean, raining sideways and crazy things are going on. And I mean, we had literally, you know, ministers commit to do things and they were used by the adversary to make sure that it didn't happen. Mm. And we're trying to deal with this naivety of going like, ministers can't be used by the devil to affect this and then justify the very fact of not doing it. It's like, wow, so many things we learn. Mm. And in the midst of that, and it's just powerful, the thing is like, it was like a warfare to do one thing, to love on fathers and sons, to love on the men in the city, and to tell them that God loves them and God has a plan for their life, to bring them to a place they can get a grid for Father God, a grid for Father Ing, a grid for father-son relationship, and just a powerful thing. But it began because, you know, I believe God. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And you guys are a testimony to that, just driven. I was just driven day and night, nonstop, until at that point. And it just, my drivenness was not going to be the thing that actually brought it to pass. God was going to have to show up.
That's right.
Yeah.
And God honored all of our work. And I mean, we had times we had to change the date. We had thousands of signs all over a city. Right. I mean, everywhere.
Oh my God,
thousands of signs all over a city. And something happened majorly, I believe, in the weather, which we learned to camp in the rain.
Yes.
And so we went to a sign company and got a different date done on a laminate or whatever that stuff is. And we went all over the city, sent a whole team out to every single sign in the city where these signs were out. And they began to change the date on the sign. And it was so cool because people saw the sign there before. So they had to think like, wasn't that going to be this weekend? I guess it's next weekend. I mean, the things that we did, but then God moved mightily. You know, many people love to talk about logistics once the logistics have manifested. Mm-hmm. But few people would stand with me believing for God to manifest the logistics. You know, many people talked about how they were going to instruct the mentors for the fatherless, but once the mentors were actually manifested, but very few people wanted to stand with me in faith and demonstrate it by their works to go out and begin to get and believe God for the mentors. I mean, everybody's like, I want to manage your people. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. You know, and, you know, I'd get up in the middle of the night and the enemy would just come in and totally attack my flesh. Listen, but God was still doing it. Listen, you can hold on despite the attacks that are coming against you physically. You'll find people that are around you. It could be your family. It could be friends or whatever who are held captive by the devil. And just like Peter was used by Satan to be able to try to thwart the plans of Jesus, they realized that because they have something in their heart that's not right, they're easily could be used by the enemy. And all of a sudden, their mouth, at the worst case time, you know, when you're believing God for this huge example for me, for this huge event in the city, that they say the darndest things, you know, and it definitely tries to turn your route. It's amazing. Yeah. It's like how many mouths began to just speak against. And because we fought and because we believed God, because we didn't pay attention to having to sleep on a root, you know, because we just did it despite what we were feeling like.
Right.
God moved powerfully, so much so that the government came to support us.
Yeah.
All the way from Indore, India, Pradeep heard all the way from India with World Vision, and we're in relationship even today. He's in Pittsburgh up there, and it was because that it's called faith. That's what faith. Yeah. Faith is not like going, I hope it all works out, and they're like, listen, 2013, this year is going to have to be about us willing to do the hard work, which means our flesh has to suffer. While we believe God and we accompany what we're believing God with works, we're actually physically doing something, but we're trusting our faith in God. Think about it like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 12, Paul talks about this when Paul begins to explain it this way. He says, we have this treasure. We have this treasure in jars of clay. In other words, I had this physical body that I had to believe God with this physical body present to do this awesome thing, but it was still going to be clay through the whole process. Mm. It wasn't going to, like, all of a sudden I'm going to morph into some sort of, you know, superhero, and then I'm going to have this armor on me, and my flesh is not going to feel something. Think about it. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And so God was going to use me, a weak, flawed person, and a lot of other people begin to join us to be able to show himself mighty. But it took us and our willingness to die to ourselves, to feel the uncomfortableness. And it was amazing that your body just wanted to stop. And then he says this, he says, we are hard pressed on every side. My flesh was hard pressed on every side. I mean, there was no piece of my flesh that was not pressed. He says, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. It was amazing that I'm alive. It's amazing that we're alive.
Absolutely.
You know, and he says, but not crushed, perplexed. I mean, perplexing was like constant, you know, every single thing. Like, what are we going to do? I mean, what are we going to do here? How are we going to do that? We're just perplexed, but not in despair. You know, God will work this out. Persecuted. Oh my goodness. You wouldn't think, you know, persecuted, but not abandoned. God stuck with us, struck down amazingly when you wanted his own, struck down, but not destroyed. He says, we always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus. When we're feeling all that physicalness and all that pain, your body just hurts sometimes because the enemy's just pressing you and pushing you and your body's freaking out and is acting all weird and stuff. Listen, you're feeling the death of Jesus. You're feeling, you're empathizing with what Paul says. Listen, everything I've ever done, I consider dung, except for knowing him and the fellowship of his suffering. Listen, we need some people who are going to believe God in 2013 for the church to rise up, to do what it's called to do, to make God's manifold wisdom known in the heavenly realm. And listen, your biggest persecutors are going to be the religious who say, no, we don't want to go with God. We don't want to do what God says. We don't believe that. And they want to hold you captive. But listen, we got to go after God. It's going to be tough on your flesh, but it's going to be great on your spirit. And he says, we carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. So literally what happens, even though that's going on, it's God that gets revealed through our clayness and our clay vesselness. It's like God moved mightily, and we had to actually do that for him to move like he did. And so he was revealed in our bodies because of what he did. For we who are alive, he says, are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in us also. What am I saying? I'm saying, listen, it's time to walk into the fire this year.
Right.
Listen, practical experience. I have a lot of training. Cool. You'll live. Jesus is the fourth man in the fire. And if you don't, you'll be with him and it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to walk into the fire and realize that God's power is made perfect in your weakness. You know, when I start thinking about Promise Keepers and the days that Coach McCartney heard from the Lord under the unction of God, he's riding with one of his friends, they're riding down the road, and they just said, you know, we got to get some men together. And it started with two of them saying, yeah, we got to do it. And the next year it started with 40, and the next year it started with a few more. And next thing you know, men were meeting all over the nation, meeting in small groups of men who had a focused theme of doing what's right before God. And with that, eventually these men came together and filled stadiums all around the nation. It was just a powerful thing. I can't explain it unless you were there. I just can't explain how powerful it was. There's something so powerful about men going after God, people going after God like that. But you know what? You know, when we came out of the stadiums, it just seemed like things began to die out. The very things that happened in the stadiums, it just started going away. And we began to seek the Lord, and we were wondering, we don't want this to stop. What, the people that we saw alive in the stadiums were now going back into lethargicness and spiritual bondage again. What's going on? You know, what's the next step? And that's exactly what the Lord had led me to do. It's called today, Next Step Outback, where it's taken fathers and sons in the wilderness, fatherless sons and mentors, to be able to repent before God for not turning our hearts to our sons and our son's heart not to the father. And it was just a powerful time that God came down for almost 10 years, and where he met us in the wilderness. We went out to meet him, and it was just a powerful time. But again, when we left the wilderness, the power of God experience, all the things that happened there, the same thing happened. Men went back into the traditional expression of what's going on. They fell back asleep again. They walked around like zombies when you'd see them in the stores and the different places. And it's like, you're alive. What happened to you? And they say right now, today, that over 20% of Christian women and 50% of Christian men are bound by an addiction to pornography. Listen, this is not working. We have to do something different. It makes me think about Billy Graham. We think about Billy Graham. You know, he had stadiums filled, you know, one stadium at a time, filled with people to come and to preach the gospel to them. And it would take about 9 months to be able to do the hard work, the groundwork, to be able to fill that stadium. And he'd preach the gospel really once or that one weekend, and it would change lives. It's time for us, think about it, it's time for us to begin to do the groundwork. And what VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, think of it like this. It's a virtual audience where Billy Graham, an awesome man of God, preached the gospel like he did, and it just transformed a nation. We got to begin to do that now, but we can fill a virtual stadium. The audience of VFN TV and the daily radio program, we're not just once, not just one weekend, but every single day, whether it's on an iPhone or an Android or a computer or a smart TV, whether it's on a Facebook or some social media, it's just everywhere. It's going out preaching the gospel every single day for those who sit down, because once you sit down once in the virtual audience, you're actually get a chance to hear every single day the hope and the light of the gospel. And with that, what we found out that by sharing this with others in the almost a 1/6 of the world's population now is in social media, like a billion people, that spending $1 in the context of getting it out to them, that at least $1 brings in approximately, this is what we're finding out, these numbers now, that one person comes and sits down in our virtual audience. But they don't just sit down for a day or a weekend. They sit down continually for the entire year. And every single day, we get to let them know about the hope, the light of the gospel. Preach hope to them. Yes, for $1. Think about it. You can help fill this virtual stadium. When we fill this virtual stadium, I believe we're going to fill stadiums around the nation. I've seen the stadiums. The founder of God TV, she prophesied these stadiums will be filled. Listen, but it will start with us doing the groundwork like Reverend Billy Graham did. You can participate. Think about it. For $1, you can potentially have one person sit down in this virtual stadium and begin to hear the gospel and transform their life. For $10 a month, you can sit 10, potentially 10 new people in this stadium every single month. $100 a month, 100 new people every single month. At the end of the month, end of the year, you would have sat over 1,200 people in the virtual stadium. Totally awesome. It's time. It's our season. Let's do it. Let's do the groundwork now in the virtual stadium so we can fill the stadiums tomorrow. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on help fill the virtual stadiums. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Help fill the virtual stadiums now. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, first live broadcast for 2013. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. I want to be able to continue that train of thought where we were just on, just to understand how important it is. If we're going to walk in the fire, that moving in faith, you know, God's power is made perfect in our weaknesses, that it's going to take us getting out and moving. You know, if you walk into the fire, it's actually walking into the fire physically, going and doing and going into the consequences of making those type of decisions. But Jesus told us, listen, if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, if you just have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You can move mountains, but it has to be accompanied. You have to actually do something. Mm-hmm. You have to do, the whole thing is, this is where the churches, we've gotten really good at the hear thing, but that we're not doing what we're hearing. And it's not that we didn't have that kind of faith. Hey, I can hear it. We got to begin to have faith to hear it and to do it. And that's when the test comes in. Mm-hmm. That's the testing of your faith. I mean, you think about it. If you believe the chair will hold you, you sit in it. Mm-hmm. If you believe that God will provide for you, you're faithful in giving him his tithes and the offerings. If you believe that God heals those who are sick, then you lay hands on people and you pray for them. If you believe a car has brakes, then you drive it. If you believe that God is not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind, then you are excited about finding about what this God who doesn't lie has to say. And you want to get into his word and you want to hold on to it and believe him for it. Listen, faith without works is dead. I had to not only believe God, but I had to go do what I believe God for. And I couldn't hope. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And you have all those people who operate off what they see, and their mouths are going to be used continually to kind of get you to explain the second story when you haven't even built the first story yet. And it's like, just follow God. Right. You know, just follow. And listen, if it was your vision in the first place, then you would be actually explaining it. Since it ain't, you need to follow the leader, because that's what God does. It's all around the land. That's what he doesn't. That's just how he does it. Believe me, if you ask the leader, They would not mind it being some other way. 1 Corinthians says this, and I want to be able to close this train of thought out understanding this. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29, Paul's talking. He says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you first were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, and not many were influential. Not many of you were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before him." Understand this. Listen, you should meet those standards. They describe George Washington's army as a ragtag army. But listen, God took that ragtag army, and we're living, 230 something years later in a nation that they fall for and over again. It's about who's on your side. The 300 members in Gideon's army. What did God do? God turned the heart of an entire nation back to him. It's not just enough for you to believe God. You're going to have to be a doer of what you believe. You have to step out, even though you can't actually articulate the next step. You know what God said. You know what you're believing God for, and if you want to believe God for the third great awakening, we're believing God for a third great awakening, join us. It's time to take America to the wilderness and introduce them and get a grid again for Father God. Well, it's time for the wisdom moment. Today's wisdom moment is coming from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. It reads, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." I mean, you think about that. The wisdom moment for today, we're finding out this, that if we want wisdom and knowledge and understanding, that's what you want. That's what everybody, you're trying to understand life. You're trying to understand marriage. You're trying to understand family. You're trying to understand family. You're trying to understand what's happening in the context of your nation. You're trying to understand your neighbors. You're trying to understand whatever. Mm. That he's saying, listen, you can get understanding, knowledge, and wisdom, but this is what you have to do. And he gives us a checklist, a simple checklist for getting it. What's he say? The first thing he says, we first have to accept God's word. You have to first accept it. This is a process. He's telling us. Right. So we have to find out what God's word is. That's why he says, listen, go into all the nation and teach them and preach the kingdom of God. And those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then teach them to obey. Mm-hmm. You're really my disciples if you know my truth and you follow it. And so the first thing we have to do, if we want wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, we have to first know God's word and accept it. The second thing he says, store it up. He says, store up God's word. Store up his commands. He said, the mouth speaks from whatever the heart is full of. In the Word of God, he lets us know that we can store up the Word. So not only do we know it and accept it, but we begin to store it up and hide it in our hearts. And some people call it memorization, but you just soak in it. You just soak in his Word, and you stack that Word on this Word and on that Word and this Word, and you pretty much know what's in your heart, what you got stowed up, but what's coming out your mouth.
That's right. Right?
So the first thing you do is you accept it, and then you store it up. And then he says, turn your ear to wisdom. So then you got to have an ear for God. You can't just sit here and have all this religious experience and do all this kind of stuff and check in the boxes, but all of a sudden you're not turning your ear to God. You're going to have to hear what God says, what he says to the churches. So now you're going to turn your ear to wisdom. So you're accepting it. You're storing it up. You're turning your ear. You're listening to what God said. And the next is you're going to need to apply your heart to understanding. So then you begin to apply what you know. If you're a doer of the word, then you're actually blessed in all that you do. So you're going to have to begin to apply your heart to this understanding that you're getting. Then he says, call out for insight, which he's saying, listen, then use your voice. Open your mouth from the lips of babes. You're going to have to say something. You have what you say.
Right.
It's working. Do you want to have something different? You need to say something different. Then he tells us to cry aloud for understanding. That it's a time of crying out and brokenness, and it's okay at times. Read the Psalms. David's in a predicament. His enemies are coming against him. Everything looks like it's going to be destroyed. And in the middle of all that almost over type experience, he cries out to God, and God answers him and gives him understanding how to be able to win this battle, to take this step, to do this stuff. And you hear the sound of the mulberry trees. That's when you do this. He's telling his people. And so you got to turn your ear to God. You got to call out to God. You got to cry aloud to God. Then he tells us you have to look for it. You got to put your eyes. Your eyes have to get involved in the process. You can't just blindly walk through life and just think it's just going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you want wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, I'm giving you through the word moment of wisdom today how you can get it. Then you have to actually look for it with your eyes. You're beginning to look around, begin to see, like Romans says, that your man's without excuse. If you look at creation, that you can understand that God, who's not seen, can be understand from what he has made, what you can see.
Right.
And seeing God in all the different things that are taking place, and you begin to understand it. After a while, you're walking to God. It's really easy to go, ooh, that's not smart. Right. I mean, you just see stuff like that, you know? And then he tells us the next thing we have to do is search for it. You have to search for it. It's like, oh, you know, I don't want to search for it. Just tell me. Give me some bullet points. Can you just give me some bullet? Just give me the highlight. I just don't want. It says, well, you're not going to have it if you don't search for it. Because if you're not searching for it, that means you're really not hungry for it and you really don't want it. But it's interesting. When you're hungry, you're digging through the pantry all the time. You're looking through the refrigerator. You're searching for something to eat. Well, if you want God's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you're actually the same way. You're standing in front of the Bible. You're looking at the Word and you're praying and you're searching things out. Mm-hmm. And that's God responds to that. He says, when you do all these things, He says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. See, he's the one holding all the cards.
Mm.
He's just wanting to know, will you come after him? Mm-hmm. Will you seek him? Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he will release everything you need in your life. Today's wisdom moment, Proverbs 2. 1-6. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands in your heart, turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.